Chapter 3 Continued. The night bus rolled through the darkness, scattering bushes and bollards, telephone boxes and trees, and Harry lay, restless and miserable, on his feather bed. After a while, Stan remembered that Harry had paid for hot chocolate, but poured it all over Harry's pillow when the bus moved abruptly from Anglesey to Aberdeen. One by one, wizards and witches in dressing-gowns and slippers descended from the upper floors to leave the bus. They all looked very pleased to go. Finally, Harry was the only passenger left.
"Right then, Neville," said Stan, clapping his hands. "Whereabouts in London?"
"Diagon Alley," said Harry.
"Right-o," said Stan. "Hold tight, then." Bang!
They were thundering along Charing Cross Road. Harry sat up and watched buildings and benches squeezing themselves out of the night bus's way. The sky was getting a little lighter. He would lie low for a couple of hours, go to Gringotts the moment it opened, then set off. Where, he didn't know. Ern slammed on the brakes, and the night bus skidded to a halt in front of a small and shabby-looking pub, the Leaky Cauldron, behind which lay the magical entrance to Diagon Alley.
"Thanks,"
Harry said to Ern. He jumped down the steps and helped Stan lower his trunk and Hedwig's cage onto the pavement.
"Well," said Harry,
"bye then." But Stan wasn't paying attention. Still standing in the doorway to the bus, he was goggling at the shadowy entrance to the Leaky Cauldron.
"There you are, Harry," said a voice.
Before Harry could turn, he felt a hand on his shoulder. At the same time, Stan shouted,
"Blimey! Ern! Come here! Come here!"
Harry looked up at the owner of the hand on his shoulder and felt a bucketful of ice cascade into his stomach. He had walked right into Cornelius Fudge, the Minister for Magic himself. Stan leapt onto the pavement beside them.
"What did you call Neville, Minister?" he said excitedly.
Fudge, a portly little man in a long, pin-striped cloak, looked cold and exhausted.
"Neville?" he repeated, frowning. "This is Harry Potter!" "I knew it!" Stan shouted gleefully. "Ern! Ern! Guess who Neville is, Ern? He's Harry Potter! I can see his scar!"
"Yes," said Fudge testily. "Well, I'm very glad the night bus picked Harry up, but he and I need to step inside the Leaky Cauldron now."
Fudge increased the pressure on Harry's shoulder, and Harry found himself being steered inside the pub. A stooping figure bearing a lantern appeared through the door behind the bar. It was Tom, the wizened, toothless landlord.
"You've got him, Minister," said Tom. "Will you be wanting anything? Beer? Brandy?"
"Perhaps a pot of tea,"
said Fudge, who still hadn't let go of Harry. There was a loud scraping and puffing from behind them, and Stan and Ern appeared, carrying Harry's trunk and Hedwig's cage, and looking around excitedly.
"How come you didn't tell us who you are, eh, Neville?" said Stan, beaming at Harry, while Ernie's owlish face peered interestedly over Stan's shoulder. "And a private parlour, please, Tom," said Fudge pointedly.
"Bye," Harry said miserably to Stan and Ern, as Tom beckoned Fudge towards the passage that led from the bar.
"Bye, Neville," called Stan.
Fudge marched Harry along the narrow passage after Tom's lantern, and then into a small parlour. Tom clicked his fingers, a fire burst into life in the grate, and he bowed himself out of the room.
"Sit down, Harry," said Fudge, indicating a chair by the fire.
Harry sat down, feeling goosebumps rising up his arms despite the glow of the fire. Fudge took off his pin-striped cloak and tossed it aside, then hitched up the trousers of his bottle-green suit, and sat down opposite Harry.
"I am Cornelius Fudge, Harry, the Minister for Magic."
Harry already knew this, of course. He had seen Fudge once before, but as he had been wearing his father's invisibility cloak at the time, Fudge wasn't to know that. Tom the innkeeper reappeared, wearing an apron over his nightshirt and bearing a tray of tea and crumpets. He placed the tray on a table between Fudge and Harry and left the parlour, closing the door behind him.
"Well, Harry," said Fudge, pouring out tea, "you've had us all in a right flap, I don't mind telling you. Running away from your aunt and uncle's house like that, I'd started to think. But you're safe, and that's what matters."
Fudge buttered himself a crumpet and pushed the plate towards Harry.
"Eat, Harry, you look dead on your feet. Now then, you will be pleased to hear that we have dealt with the unfortunate blowing up of Miss Marjorie Dursley. Two members of the Accidental Magic Reversal Department were dispatched to Privet Drive a few hours ago. Miss Dursley has been punctured, and her memory has been modified. She has no recollection of the incident at all, so that's that, and no harm done."
Fudge smiled at Harry over the rim of his teacup, rather like an uncle surveying a favourite nephew. Harry, who couldn't believe his ears, opened his mouth to speak, couldn't think of anything to say, and closed it again.
"Ah, you're worrying about the reaction of your aunt and uncle?" said Fudge. "Well, I won't deny that they are extremely angry, Harry, but they are prepared to take you back next summer, as long as you stay at Hogwarts for the Christmas and Easter holidays."
Harry unstuck his throat.
"I always stay at Hogwarts for the Christmas and Easter holidays," he said, "and I don't ever want to go back to Privet Drive."
"Now, now, I'm sure you'll feel differently once you've calmed down," said Fudge, in a worried tone. "They are your family, after all, and I'm sure you're fond of each other, very deep down."
It didn't occur to Harry to put Fudge right. He was still waiting to hear what was going to happen to him now.
"So all that remains," said Fudge, now buttering himself a second crumpet, "is to decide where you're going to spend the last 2 weeks of your holidays. I suggest you take a room here, at the Leaky Cauldron. And hang on," blurted Harry. "What about my punishment?"
Fudge blinked.
"Punishment?" "I broke the law," Harry said. "The decree for the restriction of underage wizardry." "Oh, my dear boy, we're not going to punish you for a little thing like that," cried Fudge, waving his crumpet impatiently. "It was an accident. We don't send people to Azkaban just for blowing up their aunts."
But this didn't tally at all with Harry's past dealings with the Ministry of Magic. "Last year I got an official warning just because a house-elf smashed a pudding in my uncle's house," said Harry, frowning. "The Ministry of Magic said I'd be expelled from Hogwarts if there was any more magic there." Unless Harry's eyes were deceiving him, Fudge was suddenly looking awkward.
"Circumstances change, Harry. We have to take into account, in the present climate, well, surely you don't want to be expelled?"
"Of course I don't," said Harry.
"Well, then, what's all the fuss about?" laughed Fudge airily. "Now have a crumpet, Harry, while I go and see if Tom's got a room for you."
Fudge strode out of the parlour, and Harry stared after him. There was something extremely odd going on. Why had Fudge been waiting for him at the Leaky Cauldron, if not to punish him for what he had done? And now Harry came to think of it, surely it wasn't usual for the Minister of Magic himself to get involved in matters of underage magic. Fudge came back, accompanied by Tom the innkeeper.
"Room 11's free, Harry," said Fudge. "I think you'll be very comfortable. Just one thing, and I'm sure you'll understand. I don't want you wandering off into Muggle London, all right? Keep to Diagon Alley. And you're to be back here before dark each night. Sure you'll understand. Tom will be keeping an eye on you for me."
"Okay," said Harry slowly. "But why? Don't want to lose you again, do we?"
said Fudge with a hearty laugh.
No. Best we know where you are. I mean,
Fudge cleared his throat loudly and picked up his pinstriped cloak.
I'll be off. Plenty to do, you know."
"Have you had any luck with black yet?"
Harry asked. Fudge's fingers slipped on the silver fastenings of his cloak.
"What's that? Oh, you've heard. Well, no, not yet, but it's only a matter of time. The Azkaban guards have never yet failed, and they are angrier than I have ever seen them.
Fudge shuddered slightly.
So, I'll say good-bye.
He held out his hand, and Harry, shaking it, had a sudden idea.
Minister, can I ask you something?
Certainly, smiled Fudge.
Well, third years at Hogwarts are allowed to visit Hogsmeade, but my aunt and uncle didn't sign the permission form. Do you think you could?
Fudge was looking uncomfortable.
Ah, he said, no. No, I'm very sorry, Harry, but as I'm not your parent or guardian...
But you're the Minister for Magic, said Harry eagerly. If you gave me permission...
No, I'm sorry, Harry, but rules are rules, said Fudge flatly. Perhaps you'll be able to visit Hogsmeade next year. In fact, I think it best if you don't. Yes. Well, I'll be off. Enjoy your stay, Harry.
And with a last smile and shake of Harry's hand, Fudge left the room. Tom now moved forward, beaming at Harry.
If you'll follow me, Mr. Potter, he said, I've already taken your things up.
Harry followed Tom up a handsome wooden staircase to a door with a brass number 11 on it, which Tom unlocked and opened for him. Inside was a very comfortable-looking bed, some highly polished oak furniture, a cheerfully crackling fire, and perched on top of the wardrobe...
Hedwig!
Harry gasped. The snowy owl clicked her beak and fluttered down onto Harry's arm.
"Very smart owl you've got there," chuckled Tom. "Arrived about 5 minutes after you did. If there's anything you need, Mr. Potter, don't hesitate to ask."
He gave another bow and left. Harry sat on his bed for a long time, absent-mindedly stroking Hedwig. The sky outside the window was changing rapidly from deep, velvety blue to cold, steely grey, and then slowly to pink, shot with gold. Harry could hardly believe that he'd only left Privet Drive a few hours ago, that he wasn't expelled, and that he was now facing 2 completely Dursley-free weeks.
"It's been a very weird night, Hedwig,"
he yawned, and without even removing his glasses, he slumped back onto his pillows and fell asleep.